setting the course for meaningful ministry, we will be getting to more of what this means, what we just saw, of showing the love of Christ through personal care, giving, serving, and sharing the truth. The compassion and the truth of Christ combined to show that love to a lost and dying world. We've been looking at, and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Because of our business meeting tonight, I'm just going to briefly address one verse and make one particular application, and then we're going to move into our business meeting. We're transitioning, though, because loving is the first of our three words in our ministry purpose statement. Loving God, loving the brethren, and loving unbelievers. The first great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6 looking at verse 10 here in a minute. In 1 John 4:21, the Bible says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." So here's the link between loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your brother. John says, listen, here's the commandment that we have from God, that yes, we are to love God, but he who loves God is to love his brother also. And so transition that now to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." The word there for opportunity literally means an occasion or a season, right? So as God gives us those opportunities, sometimes like Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving, that's an opportunity that a lot of people really try to take advantage of that. I am not a Black Friday shopper myself. I'd rather be in the woods hunting, okay, or sleeping in. My idea of fun is not camping out in a parking lot overnight so that I can pay $30 for a $300 TV or something. That's just not me. That may be you, but I don't live and die by Black Friday. But it is an opportunity. And there are some times when opportunities come along, opportunities for investments, opportunities for strengthening a friendship or relationship, opportunities for doing ministry. And so as we have therefore opportunity, and sometimes that is a particular opportunity, a moment in time, sometimes it is a season of opportunity. And while God gives us opportunity, we are to do good. And the Bible said, and the word good there reminds me of what Bible says of Jesus in Acts 10:38, that he went about doing good. Okay, and so what were some of those things he was doing? Well, he was healing, all right, and he fed the 5,000 and he healed folks, and yet while he was doing those things and while he was serving and meeting people's needs and showing that love through serving them, he was also proclaiming the truth. He was confronting people with their need to trust him as the Messiah. So again, we see love and truth combined for effective ministry. You have to have the two together. You cannot have love over here, truth over here, and somehow each are okay on their own. You must harness love and truth, okay? And so we're looking at this, man. I'm reminded in Mark chapter 2 how that Christ healed the paralyzed man. Remember the story how the four men heard that Jesus was in Capernaum, and so they brought their friend who's paralyzed on the cot, and when they couldn't get close to Jesus because of the great crowd that was surrounding the house and in the house where Jesus was preaching, that they would have gone several doors down, they would have found an outside staircase, gone up to the top of one of the houses, and then moved their friend across from housetop to housetop till they came to the house where Jesus was preaching. And then they tore up the roof and they let down their friend because they knew that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could meet his need. Was it obvious what this man's need was? Sure it was. He's laying paralyzed on a cot in front of Jesus. But what does Jesus do first? What does Jesus say? He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." That was the man's greatest need. And then, of course, the Jews thought within themselves, "This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God only?" And they were right. But Jesus is God. And he had all authority and power and right to forgive that man of his sin. And he's the only one who can. And then he said, "So that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of palsy, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he did. And so, as we are showing love to one another, as we are serving one another, sometimes that's a note of encouragement, sometimes that is a meal, sometimes that is a ride to the doctor, sometimes that is dog sitting or babysitting or any number of different ways in which we can serve one another, while we're doing that, we need to also incorporate a spiritual aspect to that. Now, I want to tonight kind of address just one practical application, and that is something called zip code care groups. We have divided up our membership and regular attenders. If we know their address and everything, we've divided up everybody that we regularly serve through Berean Baptist Church into what area code or zip code that they live in. So whatever your zip code is, your mailing zip code, because we believe that you would be in close proximity to one another being in that same zip code, we put you in that group. And then we have some of our deacons, deacons in training, and former deacons and their families that are the leaders of those care groups. So just for a brief minute, would all of our care group leaders stand who are here tonight? If you're a care group leader, would you please stand? Sorry for the inconvenience. All right, so here are some of our care group leaders. This is not all of our care group leaders, like CJ and Summer Finch. They are in Spain ministering. Thank you. You guys can be seated. But we have care group leaders and their families. And so if you don't know who your care group leader is, then let us know at the church office. We will let you know who your care group leader family is. And then there's always an assistant family as well, okay? The idea is not that they do all the ministry to everybody in the zip code, so that if you or somebody else in your zip code care group has a need, you let your zip code care group leader know. But the idea is not so that the zip code leader or the assistant group leader can meet that need, but that they can recruit your help. It's everybody having opportunity to serve one another. That's the idea, okay? And this is what, as we have, therefore, opportunity. So when your zip code care group leader sends out an email or a text, or they call you and they say, we have this need, that is a season of opportunity. Grab it. Serve. One of the things we've been encouraging our care group leaders is, hey, listen, even if a person normally can't help because of certain limitations, let them have that opportunity. Even if they say no, at least give them the chance to be able to minister if they possibly can. All right, so just some applications that I'd like to make. So like I said, if you don't know who your zip code care group leader is or what group you are in, please let the office know. Call us at the church, and we will let you know which group that you are in. If you're not sure if you're in a group or not, especially if you're not a member but you're a regular attender, and you say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that, let the church office know that, okay, so we can make sure we have your information and get you in the right group. And we divide it up by zip code so that because we have people that live, really, we have people that travel for over an hour one way to get to church. So if you have somebody that's up this way an hour and somebody over here, that's 45 minutes, that's an hour and 45 minutes at least in order to get across town to meet somebody's need. So if we divide you up into zip code care groups, hopefully so that you are in closer proximity with other people within your group so that you can help meet those needs. So that if somebody in your need, in your group has a need, you're going to be called on, if you can at all do it, to help, okay? And so that you're closer in proximity than somebody that would be, you know, 45 minutes or an hour away. We were doing a lot of our care through our Sunday school groups, and we still do that, and that's fine to do. And by the way, you are not exclusively limited only to serving people in your zip code care group, all right? If you see an opportunity for somebody in need, a brother or sister that's in need, don't say, bless God, I'll pray for you, but you're not in my zip code care group, so sorry. No, okay, that's not the spirit of it at all, okay? But what we're trying to do is we're trying to put more lines in the net so that less needs fall through the net, all right? We're trying to catch more of these needs. But that also brings me to another subject. Don't assume that we know. Okay, I'm a pastor, but I'm not omniscient, okay? I don't just know everything. I don't have my network of spies and all of that. I don't have a team that all they do is look on all the social media and keep me updated minute by minute on your needs. That would be great, but that's not a practical thing that we can do right now. So if you have a need, let your zip code care group leader know or let the church office know. If you know of a need, even if the person's not in your zip code group, let us know at the church. If it is somebody in your zip code group, let us know, and then also communicate with your zip code care group leader, okay? So what are some of the things that we do? Well, some of the things that we do are, you know, meals, providing meals, rides for medical appointments, house and yard cleaning, other chores and errands. But spiritual ministry should accompany. So let me give you some ideas. It could be that you simply are praying with that family. So you take a meal over to their house, or you go over to their house and you do some cleaning, or you do some yard work, or you make a repair. Whatever skills God has given you and abilities, you're over at their house, whether you're delivering a meal or you're helping out. And before you leave, you say, hey, listen, I'd just like to stop and spend a couple of minutes in prayer with you. And you just pray with that family. And pray for God's blessing on them and to continue to meet their needs, and ask God to enable and equip you and your care group and our church to meet those needs. But you just spend a couple of minutes just praying with them. You know, it is so encouraging when someone will not just say, I'll pray for you, brother, but when someone says, come here, let's pray together, and actually prays right then. Okay? And that's a wonderful, sweet time of fellowship and encouragement. You don't know how. You say, well, I kind of get my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm saying, and I get all mixed up when I'm praying and I stutter and I spit and all of that. You know what? But the fact that you would pray with somebody, even if you're stammering and stuttering and spitting to get through it, to show that love of Christ, means more. They're not worried about how fancy your prayer is, but just that you're praying with them and you're showing the compassion of Christ. And God answers prayer, by the way. It's not just something you're doing to show, to encourage them. God answers prayer, all right? And we need to be praying for one another. We are commanded to pray one for another. But it could also be something like sharing a passage of Scripture that God has used in your own life that's appropriate to their need. Maybe even just sharing a short personal testimony of something God has done in your life, just by a means of encouraging them. Hey, God's no respecter of persons. If God did this for me, God can do this for you. And I know that sometimes it looks really bleak and like there's no end in sight. And I've been there too, but let me tell you, God is faithful all the way through. And let me just share this verse of Scripture that I trust will be an encouragement for you this week. And here's probably, I saved the best, I think, for last. And this is probably something that's a lot harder to do than it sounds like on the surface, but just taking the time to listen with compassion and concern. Very few people, very few Christians excel at the art of compassionate listening. I'm going to brag on my wife for a minute and probably embarrass her just a little bit, but my wife, really, God has gifted her with compassionate listening. It is amazing to me. We can be in a Lowe's park. One time we were in a Lowe's parking lot, and we were in Star. We were getting some stuff to do another project on our fixer-upper house. And we come out into the parking lot, and we say, hello, hey, to this lady, how you doing? And Krista just asked her some sort of a question, and something in Krista's tone must have struck a chord in this lady, and we stood there for the next 45 minutes in that parking lot while this lady poured out her heart to my wife. And we were able to pray with her. We were able to get her contact information and give it to our pastor, because we were going to be leaving within a week. We tried to follow up with her, but it's just that we were here. I think that was here, wasn't it, honey? We went to the Sam's Club and sat down, and someone, a total stranger, came and sat down next to us. And you know what? Really, when you care and you're concerned and you will listen and you'll ask a couple of questions and then just shut up and listen with true concern and compassion, it is amazing how God will use that to open up somebody's heart. And you know, it, not just for the sake of the gospel, but it's amazing what an encouragement it can be for a person, a brother or sister in Christ, to know that there is somebody who's not going to go blabbing it all over social media. They're not going to tell other people. They will pray, but they're just listening, and they care. And so as we are taking meals, as we are taking people to doctor's appointments, as we are doing yard work or housework or helping them make repairs or running to the store for them or going to the pharmacy and picking up meds and bringing them to them or whatever it is that we can do to be a blessing in that sense of being a servant. And as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, so we put practical application to our love and help. But there always needs to be the spiritual aspect of ministry come alongside that. And you don't have to be called a full-time vocational ministry to do it, folks. It is not rocket science. It just takes some effort and some compassion. And God needs to keep changing us to be more like our Savior in this area. Now, I know sometimes, for instance, that you say, well, you know, we can't cook a full meal and take it to somebody. We don't have the time or the capacity or then to do the delivery on that. And I'm just using meals as one instance. Well, you know, one of the things you could do is get a gift card to your care group leader or to somebody to give to them, and then they could go to a restaurant, or they could, or give them a gift card to Kroger or somewhere, and they can go to a grocery store, and they can get the food, and they can get items to eat. Or, you know, here is a cool thing, and I know that it's a little more expensive, but you know, here's a way you can have a ministry with a family in your zip code care group. You know, you're getting home late from work, you don't have time to fix a meal and take it over to them, et cetera, et cetera. How about using the Grubhub app and ordering and paying for a meal and having it delivered to their home for them? You see, a lot of times we give up too soon on helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're too quick to make excuses. We're too quick to give up and not really pursue ways to serve each other. And so it may be that God opens up some new ideas to you in how you can serve and be a blessing. So don't just assume, oh, I can't. Pray and ask God to give you, create a mindset to be able to do some things to help and to serve. And then just this last little admonition, and then we're going to get into our business meeting. On the other side of the coin, don't stagger under the weight of the burden of what you're carrying. Don't say, well, you know, because here can be our mindset. Well, there are other people who have greater needs than I do. You really don't need to mess with little old me. I'll somehow muddle through. And while we may not couch it in those exact terms, that's almost the idea of, I'll get through. There's people with more and deeper needs, and so just let them take care of it. But you know what you're doing is you're robbing your brothers and sisters of an opportunity to minister to your needs. And it may be something that they can do, and it would be a delight to them to do it. It allows them to fulfill ministry and serve God and lay up treasure in heaven. Don't rob the rest of us of an opportunity of ministry because you're afraid to ask. The Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And there are times when you're going to have an opportunity to bear somebody else's burden, but you know what? If everybody's seeking to meet everybody else's burdens, but nobody's willing to let somebody else help them with their burden, who are you going to serve? So if you have burdens, if you have needs, let us know at the church office. Let your zip code care group leaders know. Let your Sunday school teachers know, all right? We're not going to take it that you're whining and complaining and all of that. We're going to take it as, listen, you are staggering under a burden and you need help. And we want to show the love of Christ and help carry that burden however we can be a blessing to you. And again, if we don't know about the need, we can't help you. And there's no reason for you to struggle when you have a whole church family that is ready and willing and able to help serve and to meet your needs. All right, that's the admonition for tonight. Now, let's get our ushers ready to distribute our ballots.